morning, everyone. My name is Sue from Providence Bay House Church. Let's bow our heads and then open with the prayers. Dear God, thank you for giving us this new day. We come humbly before you to hear your words. The Holy Spirit, we ask you to open our hearts and open our ears, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's passage is Mark chapter 13, verse 20 to 37. Let's open the one app, and I'll read from it, which is the ESV version. And if the Lord had not cut short the day, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning the day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to you all, stay awake. So Mark 13 discusses the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end times. Yesterday, Henry shared the first part of this chapter, and I honestly had the same reaction as him when I learned that this chapter was assigned to me. Why this chapter? And however, I believe that this is not a coincidence. God truly wants me to meditate on the topic of the end times and understand its significance and incorporate it into my daily life on earth. Therefore, I'm thankful for this opportunity and pray that the Holy Spirit will convict you through these words as well. So many of us do not think about end times or the end of our earthly lives. In our business, we are all often consumed by the tasks at hand and live day by day without contemplating the end times and what lies beyond. Although I grew up in church, this concept was never a reality for me. So I recently had a conversation with my husband, John, and a friend at home. So I'm well into my 40s, and John and our friend are almost 50 now. And our little pet turtle, Leonardo, who was a little over a year old, was next to us, and we became curious how long these little turtles would live. So I Googled it and found out that this specific breed can live usually 25 to 30 years. And I said to John and our friend, actually, Leonardo may outlive you guys. We just laughed about it, but it actually struck me how short our lives are in this earth and how unwise and unfulfilling it would be to spend our time focusing on things that are not eternal. In this life, I have already gone through many trials and errors by making short-sighted decisions and suffering from the consequences. So it is essential for us as believers to have a long-term perspective and focusing on our eternal life in heaven with Jesus. So in Mark 13, Jesus tells us what will happen as the end times approach. There will be distress in many forms, including wars and divisions among nations, earthquakes and famines, tribulations and persecution of Christians, false messiah and false prophets. And in verse 23, Jesus says, I have told you everything ahead of time, so be on your guard. And verse 28 and 29, he adds, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. So Jesus shared these signs in detail because he does not want us to be ignorant or scared or caught off guard when the end time comes. When I read it, I felt that Jesus is so kind and cares about each one of us. So these signs will be actually as obvious as the change in seasons indicated by a fig tree if we remain alert and on our guard. So I believe that these signs are prevalent around us, indicating that the end times are near. We just don't know the day or the hour. And Jesus says in verses 25 to 26, but in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At some point, what seems real to us, just like the sun and the moon, they will come to an end. The sun, moon, stars, and earth exist only as long as God holds them in existence. They will pass away at an hour only known to God. This should be actually a very terrifying thought if we depend on the sun to rise tomorrow for our own happiness. But if Jesus is our happiness, this will be a magnificent moment. In verses 26-27, Jesus says, at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Imagine being one of the elect whom Jesus promised to gather with his angels. This is surreal, and I'm still trying to fully grasp it. But however, one thing is certain, although the sun may or may not rise tomorrow, we do not need to fear. Instead, we can have hope, knowing that Jesus will gather those he loves and who love him in return. And in verse 31, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So this verse reminds us that the only eternal thing we should focus on during the end times is God's words. The word of God is the foundation of everything, and it is the true reality. The other day, my 9-year-old daughter told me, before going to bed, "Oh, what if God is not real? What if the Bible is not true? I'm really, really trying, but sometimes I have a hard time believing some things in the Bible." And then my 6-year-old old son chimes in, "Yeah, I cannot see God. I wish I could see him." So we just talked about how people who believe only what they can see end up making and worshiping idols. And also we get to know God through his word and through experiencing him. So I pray the same prayer this morning that the Holy Spirit may open our eyes through the word of God to see what is true and eternal and help us to build our lives on that. And last point, Jesus says in verse 32 and 37, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch." So here, think of what Jesus, our master, has left us. Three things. First, he has left his house, so which is the church. The church belongs to Jesus, but he entrusted to each one of us. And second, he has left his authority. We are to live and serve in the authority of Jesus. And responsibility is always coupled with authority. So lastly, he has left his work to us. Each servant has his work to do. We aren't responsible for someone else's work, but we are responsible for ours, whatever God has called each one of us to do. So with that, I'll ask Nikki to come and lead us into worship and prayer. And I will pray. Dear God, thank you for your promise that your words will never pass away. And so we pray and say we believe you. We don't know when you are returning, but we do know, what we do know is we must be on guard. As we wait and look for your return, we want to obey you by keeping alert and ready for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hand has made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder upon the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. great thou art, went through the woods and forest glades I wandered, and I hear birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the bird and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Son, not spare me, send him to die, I scarce take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.